Track 13, Rapid Fire. The Great War, 100. Honor and Remembrance, Hawkeye Hero. Fred Becker made a career on the football field before giving his life fighting in France. By Mike Chapman. Fred H. Becker etched his name into history twice, on football fields in his native Iowa, and then in France during World War I, where he made the ultimate sacrifice. Becker was born November 6, 1895, in Waterloo, Iowa. He first gained attention playing sandlot football on dusty makeshift fields around the Midwestern city. In those rough-and-tumble games, he carved out a reputation that would serve him well and make him known as a fighter. Acclaimed as the finest football player in East High's short history, Becker moved on to the University of Iowa. The team finished just 4-3 for the 1916 season, but Becker was selected as a lineman for the All-Western Conference team. He also won a spot on the All-American first team. Like most college students, Becker was aware of the tensions engulfing the globe during the late fall and winter of 1916, up until the United States officially entered World War I. He left school and enlisted on March 16, 1917. Becker undertook infantry training at Fort Snelling and was commissioned a second lieutenant, then went abroad. A story in the Waterloo newspaper told of the impression he made on others. During his course of training at Fort Snelling, and since his transfer to active duty in France, he has won the praise of the officers with whom he was associated. He was absolutely fearless on the football field, and carried this same spirit into his duties on the battlefield. On July 18, 1918, during the Battle of Chateau Thierry, Becker fought with the Marine Corps' 5th Regiment. His platoon pinned down by an enemy machine gun nest, Becker moved forward and took it out. The exact details are lost, but according to information sent from service officials, his action was crucial in preventing the death or injury of many men in his command. Details of Becker's death were reported in a letter to his parents from a fellow officer, Lieutenant John D. Clark. He told them that Lieutenant Becker was found on the battlefield in advance of his comrades, indicating that he was leading them in the fight. He had been hit in the throat. At first buried where he fell, his body did not remain in France. On May 7, 1921, the Hawkeye Hero arrived in Hoboken, New Jersey, and was taken by train to Waterloo. A large crowd gathered at the station to see the flag-draped casket removed and taken to the funeral home. An honor guard was posted around the clock until the day of the service, May 14th. According to the local newspaper, Grace Methodist Episcopal Church was filled to capacity nearly an hour before the time set for the services to begin. 2,000 persons crowded into the edifice, and as many more were unable to obtain entrance. The steps, the churchyard, and the adjoining sidewalks were packed. Soon after Becker's death, there was talk of naming the University of Iowa football field after him, but that never came to pass. On March 30, 1921, American Legion Post 138 in Waterloo was dedicated and named in part for Becker. Nearly a century after Becker played football, he was inducted into the University of Iowa Athletic Hall of Fame during halftime of a 2010 football game in front of 70,000 Hawkeye fans. In 2011, the Waterloo School Board voted to name its newest school in his honor. Today, hundreds of children attend Fred Becker Elementary and walk past a display case that tells the story of a young man with a fighter spirit who can inspire a new generation. Mike Chapman retired from a 35-year newspaper career in 2002 and is the author of 29 books. A native of Waterloo, Iowa, he served in the Navy from 1962 to 1965. Read an extended version of this story online, www.legion.org/honor. Spring meetings. Everyone can help grow membership. National Commander Denise H. Rohan addresses the Legion's National Executive Committee at National Headquarters in Indianapolis. In her opening remarks to the National Executive Committee during its spring meetings in Indianapolis on May 9th, American Legion National Commander Denise H. Rohan highlighted membership tools and resources, many of which are available on www.legion.org for Legion family members at every level to use when recruiting. We are still the most respected and influential veteran service organization in the country, but we can't take it for granted that it will always be that way, Rohan said. We have an even greater responsibility to build our membership. Membership resources include the free Legion mobile app, door hangers, applications, and brochures. Legionnaires are encouraged to carry materials with them or keep them in their cars, ready for any opportunity to recruit new members. That open-ended approach also applies to the development of a ready-to-go elevator pitch, the use of MyLegion.org to access the names of expired post members, and more. We should never lose sight of the fact that we are a community-based organization, even if we wield national influence, Rohan said. We can benefit from practicing these basic recruiting tips and our principles. It is our longtime Legionnaires who will pass on the traditions and principles of our great American Legion to the next generation of Legionnaires who will advance that service into our second century. OCW grant boosts VA's nationwide baby shower. The Operation Comfort Warriors OCW program recently gave a $50,000 grant to the Department of Veterans Affairs to help supply new baby welcome kits to female veterans at 60 VA medical centers across the country. More than 2,400 new veteran parents and parents-to-be who received their care through VA registered for a welcome kit, which includes a diaper bag, toiletries, hairbrush and comb set, layette, blanket, and hat. Priced at $50 each, VA was nationally short 1,000 kits. The OCW grant fulfills that need. I've had the opportunity to visit many VA medical centers across the nation over the past 8 months, National Commander Denise Rohan said. We have so many female veterans who don't realize the services available in those facilities. With our Family First theme, we wanted to show our solid support. 186,000-plus quilts awarded to wounded service members and veterans by the Quilts of Honor organization since its formation in 2003. A quilt-making event for the American Legion family was conducted during spring meetings for the fourth year in a row. $176,000-plus, amount donated to American Legion programs by Legion family members during the spring meetings. $744,436, amount awarded in American Legion Legacy Scholarships to 41 children of fallen service members and disabled veterans. Recipients were announced during the NEC meetings. Key resolutions of the 2018 spring meetings. Emblem 1. Rules and regulations governing use of the name and emblems of the American Legion. Internal Affairs 4. Investigate possibility of allowing members to pay annual dues for multiple years in addition to the existing Paid Up for Life PUFL membership plan. Subcommittee on Resolutions 35. Awards 2024 National Convention to New Orleans, home of the National World War II Museum, in honor of 80th anniversary of D-Day. Veterans Affairs and Rehabilitation, 17, calls on DOD to provide equal benefits to all veterans buried at Arlington National Cemetery. Veterans Employment and Education, 11, supports veteran and reserve service member financial protections. 14, opposes cessation of DOD's Hiring Heroes program. Go online for the full text of all 35 resolutions passed at the meetings, archive.legion.org. Click on Resolutions. Honor and Remembrance. Flag made to honor U.S. World War I dead returns to native Scotland. A U.S. flag has returned to Scotland 100 years after it was made and used there in funerals for a group of U.S. troops during World War I, according to Fox News and other news outlets. On February 5, 1918, the German submarine UB-77 torpedoed and sank SS Tuscania, which had left Hoboken, New Jersey for Liverpool, England, less than 2 weeks before, with 384 crewmen and more than 2,000 Army personnel. More than 200 American soldiers drowned. On the Scottish island of Islay, near where Tuscania sank and many bodies washed ashore, a group of residents hurriedly sewed a U.S. flag before the first of the funerals, using an encyclopedia for reference. The flag is housed at the Smithsonian's National Museum of American History in Washington, but returned to Islay for the WW100 Scotland National Day of Remembrance on May 4th. The flag will be on display for a few months at the Museum of Islay Life in Port Charlotte before returning to the Smithsonian. Islay and Jura lost over 200 of their own men in World War I, and sadly those families never got the opportunity to bury their own, museum employee Jenny Minto told the Southwest News Service. The sinking of Tuscania and later Otranto gave the islanders the opportunity to look after those men, living and dead, as they hoped their own boys would be cared for at land and sea. Verbatim, "We have to put every day to use if we want the chance to bring someone else to justice." Jens Rommel, prosecutor with the Central Office for the Investigation of National Socialist Crimes in Ludwigsburg, Germany, which is hunting down the last surviving Nazi war criminals. The 2011 sentencing of a former guard at the Sobibor extermination camp made it possible to prosecute anyone who worked at a concentration camp as an accomplice in mass murder. Membership. New posts. Charles L. Martin, post 1948, Montgomery, Alabama, chartered April 30th, 17 members. Steel Valley, post 650, Pittsburgh, chartered April 6th, 15 members. Post 145, Salina, Texas, chartered April 6th, 29 members. Chilton County Post 216, Clanton, Alabama, chartered April 3rd, 27 members. Post 339, Lafayette, Georgia, chartered March 15th, 17 members. Greater East End Post 316, Houston, chartered March 5th, 15 members. Post 1836, Leavittsville, Virginia, chartered February 26th, 43 members. General Robert Shoemaker, Post 216, Killeen, Texas, chartered February 23rd, 15 members. Madison Correctional Post 512, Madison, Indiana, chartered February 23rd, 15 members. Sean Ward Post 519, Lovelock, Nevada, chartered February 22nd, 10 members. Lieutenant Brian Gineau, Post 738, Waterloo, Iowa, chartered February 1st, 15 members. Post 445, Krebs, Oklahoma, chartered January 24th, 15 members. Ernest M. Henry Sr., Post 438, New Orleans, chartered January 19th, 15 members. Henry E. Bergdorf, Post 155, Old Town, Idaho, chartered January 11th, 10 members. Sussex Post 773, Waverly, Virginia, chartered January 5th, 15 members. The Great War 100, Honor and Remembrance, Quaint and War-Worn France. Editor's note. Throughout the Great War Centennial, the American Legion magazine will publish excerpts from the letters of D.B. Bernard Ryan of Albion, New York, who served as an Army infantry officer and helped found American Legion Sherritt Post 35 in 1919. June 26, 1918. My dear, dear mother, today was gala for us, for our first state's mail arrived. In it were your letters of May 28th and June 7th, Miss Putnam's, one from Cousin Ellen, and two or three others. Tonight men were sitting by the roadside, making reply to their correspondence. From now I will try to keep a proper record and also to write frequently, but I think once a week will have to suffice. I have been very, very busy because of the arrangements under which we are working and under which we are billeted, throwing much administrative work on my official position. We are in billets in France, in very beautiful France, in very unsanitary, quaint, and war-torn France, where old men and women and boys and girls toil in the fields till almost dusk, which is now till nearly 10 p.m. My little office and billet is secluded and looks out upon a neat little garden from which a curved brick walk follows a well-trimmed hedge to the officers' mess. I moved one day thinking I was bettering myself by larger rooms. The next day I moved back, quite repentant for my haste and satisfied that I had quite the neatest, cleanest place with one of the cleanest families hereabouts. The other place was like most of the billets, set inside a good old-fashioned barnyard, one that supplies the drinking water for the well when there is any. It is most curious that such vigorous old people have lived their lives under conditions which we wouldn't tolerate in Two Bridges. Thank heaven for American civic pride in sanitation and modern plumbing. I have a cooking orderly, batman or striker, who speaks French well enough to find out anything I want to know and to make negotiations for our billeting officer, being of great assistance to him. His French seems to be good, and yet he comes from New Hampshire, and his name is Connor, French, Irish, Canadian. I have had him only 10 days, but he is surely tumbling onto my wishes, and he is a comfort, really. In spite of the fact that the bathing place is some distance away, I have a hot bath every night if I want it. He has it ready. And right there is where my tub comes in, my had-to-be-gotten $6.50 tub. I use it. But just as I anticipated and remarked way back in February, a GI tub is supplied. However, I know my own is clean. The issued kind were necessarily not new. Speaking of the tub brings up the question of equipment. There was no inspection, and now we must reduce to 50 pounds and store the excess, which means very probably that we will never see the stuff again. Love, DBR. Service. Young Legionnaire Shines at Pentagon by Tim Sproles. Tony Hollinsworth is a senior airman in the Air Force, working for the Office of the Secretary of Defense at the Pentagon. Years ago, while living in Indianapolis, he met Legionnaires Paul and Jennifer Norton when they conducted a flag education program. As a high school student, Hollinsworth had planned to become an emergency medical technician. However, his plans changed after getting to know the Nortons, and after graduating in 2014, he joined the Air Force and was accepted into the prestigious Air Force Honor Guard, one of 9 out of more than 700 applicants. Hollinsworth spent 18 months serving on funeral details at Arlington National Cemetery, welcomed the Pope as part of the Joint Service Color Team, and worked at the inauguration of President Trump. Now he conducts VIP tours at the Pentagon. "I've had the opportunity to meet with people from all over the world," he says. "Being lower enlisted and being able to work beside our country's top advisors and leaders has been an amazing experience." Hollinsworth says the Nortons' devotion to the flag and the nation helped him discover that same passion in himself and inspired him to join the Legion. He, in turn, has inspired Paul. "The young man has revitalized my faith that there are young veterans out there who can bring the American Legion to the next level, service members who really care about God, country, and changing the lives of our veterans," Paul says. Tim Sproles is Communication Director for the American Legion's Department of Indiana. Convention. Registration for Color Guard contest still open. American Legion Family Color Guard units will compete once again at the National Color Guard Contest during the 100th National Convention. The competition will be at 5 p.m. August 24th in Hall B, Level 1 of the Minneapolis Convention Center. There is still time to plan to join them. The deadline to register in the Advancing and Retiring Military, Military Open, and Open classes is July 20th. Visit www.legion.org/convention/resources to download an application form. Vikings invite Legion family to preseason game. The Minnesota Vikings will battle the Seattle Seahawks on Friday, August 24th at 7 p.m. at U.S. Bank Stadium, located just a few blocks from the convention center. The team is extending a $20 ticket offer to Legion family members through a digital ticketing option. The offer ends August 17th. There is a maximum of 20 tickets per order. www.legion.org/convention/resources. Flag. Sign up for flag text alerts. The American Legion is offering members, veterans, and patriots the opportunity to receive text alerts when the president declares flags to be lowered to half staff. To receive these text alerts, simply text the word flag to 35893. You will receive a confirmation email within a few minutes. The service is free, but message and data rates may apply. The Legion also distributes an e-newsletter when the president issues a flag proclamation. To sign up for the free e-newsletter, go to www.legion.org/newsletters. Technology. Dumb phones. A study conducted by researchers at the University of Texas, University of California, San Diego, and Carnegie Mellon reveals that the very presence of smartphones actually makes us less intelligent. Citing the full study in the Journal of the Association for Consumer Research, thejournal.com reports that researchers asked study participants to sit at a computer and take a variety of tests requiring concentration. Before the testing began, the participants were randomly assigned to one of three groups. The first was told to leave all their belongings in the lobby. Another group was told to leave most of their belongings in the lobby, but to take their phones into the testing room and place them face down on their desks. A third group was told they could keep their belongings with them in the testing room and keep their phones wherever they naturally would. 80% of participants believed that the location of their phones didn't affect their test performance. In fact, research subjects who left their phones outside the exam room did far better than those who had their phones on the desk in front of them. They also slightly outperformed those who had their phones with them but had placed them in a pocket or a bag. The research team concludes that just having the phone within sight or reach reduced the research subjects' ability to focus and do the tasks asked of them because some part of their brain was actively working to not pick up or use the phone. It's a paradox, but the research team reports that the more consumers depend on their smartphones, the more they seem to suffer from their presence, or more optimistically, the more they may stand to benefit from their absence. By the numbers. Military footprint in Africa, 4,000 U.S. troops in Djibouti, 800 U.S. troops in Niger, 500 U.S. troops in Somalia, 50 African countries with a U.S. troop presence out of 54 countries, 14 enduring locations, permanent or semi-permanent U.S. bases. Centennial, Post 10, Okmulgee, Oklahoma. One of the namesakes of White Williams, American Legion Post 10, is Clyde Williams of Okmulgee, Oklahoma, who enlisted in the Navy on November 27, 1940. After basic training in Norfolk, Virginia, Williams attended the Navy School of Music at the Washington Naval Yard. He graduated May 23, 1941, and served on USS Lassen, a cargo ship that delivered ammunition to Pearl Harbor. A musician second class, Williams's next assignment was to USS Arizona on June 17, 1941. As part of the Arizona Dance Band, he competed in the Battle of Music 1941, and although the band did not compete in the semifinals, it beat three others. For doing so well in the competition, the band, including Williams, was allowed to sleep late the fatal morning of December 7th. The Battle of Music finals, scheduled for December 20th, never took place. The grand prize trophy was awarded posthumously to the Arizona Band and is at the Arizona Memorial, inscribed with the band members' names. Share your post's legacy. Upload stories, photos, and videos of your post's history on the Legion Centennial Celebration website, www.legion.org/centennial.